In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
So this ought to be fun. Stink, one of our absolute favorites, is going to be hanging with us every other week throughout the NFL season here on Willard and Dibbs. So, you know, that's amazing.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Very, very excited about this. And he's joining us now. We go out to the River Islands guest line. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. What's up, Stink? How you doing, man?
Man, I am great. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic because we woke up to the news that Trent Williams is on his way, and that helped, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what's funny is, I've been here in New York doing this new show called Breakfast Ball. It's way too early for you guys in San Francisco. It's 8 to 10 Eastern, so I record it. But anyhow, it's been funny because all last week and this week, I'm like, I am not the least bit concerned. Like, they're going to figure out a way to get, Ayuk done or whatever, or traded or whatever they were going to do. And Trent Williams is such a freak show that guy doesn't need practice. As a matter of fact, my whole kind of thought process on Trent was it's probably best just to not have him practice, right? Probably best, you know, at 15 years in the league and being one of the most dominant players in the league, just don't even have him practice. Come in when he comes in and he'd be ready to roll. So I assumed that they would get this done. That was kind of what I felt all along. And it was great to see them get that contract signed and watch him get paid, because the dude is just an absolute dominant freak show. So he's just one of those dudes. Like, it's funny, when you talk to Kyle, he's like, hey, listen, man, this is a dude that when he does something, when he practices, like, the team shuts down to watch him. Like, that's how impressive he is. Like other athletes that have played professional football will stop what they're doing to watch this guy, his movement skills, and the way he dominates the line of scrimmage.
And it's just fun to watch as a layman, as, you know, Mark and I, and neither one of us played football at any real high level, but to watch him and to have him stand out for a layman like me, it just impresses me. But makes me wonder, Mark, does he make the right or the left guard, rather, in the center and the whole offensive line? Does everybody else around him get better just by him being there?
You know, what's interesting, and, you know, you guys had McGlinchey there for a while, and, you know, now McGlinchey's playing in Denver. But just watching when they got Trent, watching McGlinchey's game on the other side grow, especially in the run blocking aspect of his game, was like, it was night and day how all of a sudden McGlinchey started taking on some of those characteristics. Now, he's never going to be Trent Williams, but I'm talking about aggressiveness, coming off the ball, trying to be the first strike guy, trying to be dominant at the line of scrimmage, you know, and not so like, Trent is just one of those dudes, like, if he whiffs, he doesn't really care. Because if he hits you, he's literally going to murder you. Like, it's like the way he comes off the ball, it's ridiculous. And so, like, it's funny. I play with a guy who's, you know, an all decade of two decades, the 80s and 90s, in Gary Zimmerman. And not that he was physically dominant like that, but he was such a dominant player, and he was such a dominant athlete. And, you know, I was a Pro Bowl player when I left Washington and came to Denver, and I lined up next to Gary, and it was like the very first practice, I was like, man, I got to pick my game up. Like, this guy practices faster than I practice. And everything, you know, and you're just like, wow, he's that good. And that's what Trent does for everybody else on that line of scrimmage. They're like, oh, shoot. Like, he can coast and be better than you. And so that when he plays that way, you start to look at your game and go, man, I got to pick it up. Otherwise, even though I'm giving great effort, I'm going to embarrass myself because I'm on the same clip as him. And, you know, I'm on the same film as him. So those guys have just an incredible impact on your organization, on your football team.
Hanging with Mark Schlereth, and Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Okay, Stink, I know that, you know, the pros, you deal with this all the time, but the 49er camp was filled with constant talk about contracts and holdouts. In what way, if at all, does that affect what's about to happen next as the season starts?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, a couple things. One, it just becomes a distraction. And mostly because, you know, you got to answer the question every day. And I don't understand, like, the whole hold-in thing, you know, like Ayuk being around. I just would think that would get annoying over time, right? I just think as a player, you'd look at the guy and go, really, dude? Like, that's what we're going to do? You know, so, and then you got to answer the questions all the time and all that kind of stuff. And I get that's the way guys are getting around, getting fined, and I understand all that. But, you know, I think right now there's just absolute relief that everything is done, and now we don't have to talk about any of that stuff. Let's face it, when you talk about talented teams, you know, you're talking about San Francisco, you know, you're talking about Kansas City, you're talking about Philadelphia, you're talking about the Detroit Lions. Those are some of the most talented teams, the Baltimore Ravens, the most talented teams in football. And they're right up there with them, and now they've got all their guys in, and they're ready to roll, and they're playing Monday night. So, obviously, getting this done today, you're right back in there Wednesday. Is actually like a Tuesday when you play Monday night. So, you know, you got an extra day of preparation. So that's always a good thing as well. But now listen, once everybody's in, like it can annoy you and stuff and all the questions can annoy you and it can get old. But once everybody's in, it just becomes, you know, it becomes water under the bridge. Nobody really cares anymore. So I don't think it really affects the Niners, and I don't think it really affects anything that they did, this offseason and during training camp.
Yeah, Trent's in 6 days ahead of the opener, and Brandon Ayuk about the same. And you mentioned a talented roster, one of the most talented in football. And do you look at Brock Purdy at quarterback and forget the draft spot and forget the salary, but is he a key piece? Is he really as talented in your eyes as the guys all around him?
Oh, yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe – it depends on your definition of talent, right? I mean, he doesn't have, you know, the athletic talent of a McCaffrey or a Debo Samuel or a Trent Williams or, you know, a Fred Warner or any of those guys. But that dude from the neck up is, like, that dude's a legitimate NFL quarterback from the neck up. And I'm not saying he's not athletic, you know, he'll be the first to tell you, hey, listen, man, I'm not. You know, I wasn't blessed. I know that I don't have, like, elite-level arm talent. I know, you know, I think this points to intelligence. I know what my weaknesses are. I know what I can't do. And I think that's more important than knowing what you are, is knowing what you aren't and making sure you play to your strengths but also mitigate your weaknesses. Those are some of the most important things, important lessons you can learn as a player. But I will tell you this, when it comes to processing an offense, when it comes to being on time with your footwork and your footwork leading to on time and accurate passes, and this is what this guy does. He's one of the top, you know, quarterbacks. He's one of the top players in the league when it comes to the way he plays the game. and the way he processes information and get, I mean, instantly will eliminate pre-snap a side. Be like, no, that's not a good side. Like, I'm going to the other side. And you watch him do it time and time again. It's not an accident. Like, it is not an accident. That dude can process. And, you know, I always talk about accuracy. And obviously I had a son that played in the big leagues, you know, throwing. But, you know, it's akin to pitching in that if you're not on time, like if your arm lags behind or you're not on time, you cannot throw strikes. And like if your body's ahead of your arm, like you can't throw strikes. Your arm trails, and then you have to make up for that because your arm's behind. And a couple things happen. You either miss higher outside or you pull the ball, you hold it too long, and you throw one in the dirt inside. Like that's what happens. When you're late timing-wise in your drops, well, then you overthrow things. And you can't be accurate if you're not on time. And that dude is just flat out on time all the time. And it's why he can get away and be totally accurate and totally, on point with the football because he is on time with the football.
Hey, Mark, where are we going with these wide receiver contracts? Like how much longer can NFL teams continue to pay wide receivers at that level?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? And you know, and on the Stinking Truth podcast, I've talked about Ayuk several times, and I think he's a really fine player. But I have sat down with multiple coordinators that are facing the San Francisco 49ers, and never once has anybody said, "Hey, our priority is to stop Ayuk." It's never been said. It's, "Hey, man, we got to find a way to stop, you know, Christian McCaffrey. We've got to find a way to stop, you know, Deebo Samuel. We got to find a way to stop George." Like, he's the fourth option, and so. Like, I will say this about wide receivers, and it does kind of just blow me away. Football, everybody's a dependent player, right? You're dependent on everybody doing their job. But there's no more dependent player in the National Football League than a wide receiver. 10 other guys have to do their job exceptionally well for you to sniff a football. And so, like, I look at – the other thing is when you break down film, when you start looking – like, I'll do this every week. You know, I'm calling a game. I'll start looking at every guy's over the last 3 weeks, every ball a guy catches. And what you'll find is there's certain receivers that run certain routes. You know, there's guys that run in-cutting routes. There's guys that run routes outside the numbers. There's guys that are just crossers. There's, like, it's what they do, right? It's what they're good at. There's very few guys that run every route in the route tree. There's very few guys that can – you know, run everything from the outside or the inside or motion into, you know, slots or stacks or whatever. Like, there's very few guys that do everything well. Those seem to be the guys that get paid. But, you know, I wonder if there's a market correction at some point. Like, we saw it this year. I call it the Fangio effect. So everybody started playing this two-shell, you know, where a lot of quarters coverage and, you know, and you're reading, you're becoming an alley player, you're reading the tight end, if he blocks, you know, you're a first force guy and all that stuff at the safety position. But remember when, even 4 or 5 years ago, when that middle of the field eraser safety was getting 15, 18 million bucks a year? Like, and everybody was getting it. And all of a sudden the market corrected and go, well, nobody plays that style of defense anymore, and we don't need to pay our safeties that much money. It's kind of like what happened to the fullback years ago. And, you know, I don't know that there will be. I mean, I guess as long as it's still 70% past this league or in a lot of cases, then maybe that will never change. But it seems to be a little bit out of whack in my mind.
No doubt. And that's what makes this team so fascinating to me, Mark. And I worked with Lo Neal for about 4 years doing a morning show. And so he taught me a lot about football and about, you know, what the Niners do with the fullback and the 21 personnel and having a wide receiver like Brandon Ayuk, who can block, does that add to his value to make him less of an anomaly in this inflated wide receiver market?
Well, obviously, like, you're not going to play in that offense as a wide receiver, you know, block.
Right.
I mean, that is a Shanahan. That's a, you know, that's passed down from the time Kyle was holding the cord. You know, he's the last guy in the history of the Super Bowl to hold the coaches, the head coaches' cord. Because after the Super Bowl, after Super Bowl 33, I believe it was, they went to wireless headsets. So Kyle is the last person in the history of the National Football League to hold a head coach's cord on the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday. On the
that
sideline.
Is incredible Shanahan trivia knowledge. The last cord holder. Wow.
The last cord holder. Yep, they cut the cord on Kyle. Cut the cord. So, but you know, I played for his dad forever, and it's just like you don't block, you don't get to play, you just flat don't get to play at the tight end position, the fullback position, at the wide receiver position, and so you know those guys, they impress upon those guys, and Ayuk will do that. You know, Ayuk is grown in that. In that avenue of his game, and he's grown. His entire game has grown because he was in the doghouse several different occasions. You know, when he first got to the 49ers as a 31st overall pick or whatever it was out of Gay State, but he has really grown into a really really good top notch type of receiver. And so, you know, I mean, I'm glad that he got paid. Like I said, a bunch. I wouldn't make him a top three paid guy or top four paid guy. But I'm glad he got paid. I'm glad he's back into camp because this team is so damn good. And you know, and I frankly root for him because of Kyle Shanahan and the Shanahans and how good they've been to me. And you know, Mike Shanahan added 3 or 4 years to my career. So I'm forever in debt, and I've learned so much. And, you know, I still sit with Mike and watch film and the whole nine yards. So, you know, I have a lot of just a lot of gratitude and a lot of love for the Shanahan family. They've been really good to me, and Kyle's been good to me. And they're a phenomenal family, phenomenal coach. Kyle's an unbelievable coach. And so it's really cool to see this. And, you know, and I'm rooting for them to kind of finally seal the deal because I would love to see it.
Well, Stink, that's a perfect segue to one other thing I wanted to ask you. And look, we're all part of the media. People say things. They've got big takes. But Peter Schrager, NFL Network, earlier today was asked, of all coaches in the NFL, who's got the most pressure on him? And he immediately went to Kyle Shanahan and said he's got the most riding on this season of any coach in the whole league. How does that grab you?
I mean, I haven't thought about that, but sure. I mean, you've been close two times. Now, you could sit there and say, well, listen, you know, I mean, you know, Mike McCarthy, if they don't do something in the playoffs, Mike McCarthy is certainly probably going to lose his job. So I think there's other coaches you could point to, Nick Sirianni, the way they finished the season last year in Philadelphia. You know, Kyle has done this and gone to multiple Super Bowls with, you know, two quarterbacks that people have questions about. Like, I mean, come on now. I mean, like, I love Brock Purdy, but and I think Brock Purdy is great, but Brock Purdy isn't on the list of the top five dudes in the National Football League, and I don't know if he makes, you know, the average person's top 10 list. And then he also went with, you know, with Jimmy Garoppolo. So, like, that in and of itself shows you what kind of coach that Kyle is. I would tell you, this is the pressure. The pressure is, after this season, you're going to have to pay your quarterback. And then you're going to have to make, you're probably going to have to make some roster decisions that to this point you haven't had to make because you've been able to get away without paying your quarterback all that money. So it'll be interesting, although I will say the Niners have found a way to, you know, circumvent and manipulate the cap, which is awesome, which you know, I always say the cap is fake anyhow. So I like what they're doing in that regard. And, you know, you push the money forward, you take care of your players, and you push your chips in the middle, and you say, we're all in, we're trying to win a championship. So I'd like to see that happen.
Yeah, Mark, my partner likes to use the expression cap schmap.
Cap schmap, Mark. Yeah. Cap schmap. Oh, gosh, yeah, we can't fit it. I'm like, cap schmap.
Right. If you like, hey, listen, man, if you really want to do it, like when they say, hey, man, it's cap restrictions and cap this and that, that just tells me you don't really, really covet the player. Because if you really, really love the player, you know what you do? You find the money. You renegotiate contracts, you push money forward, you figure out how to get it done. There was never any question in anybody's mind, I don't believe, that they were going to find a way to get a deal done with Trent Williams. I mean, was there ever any question that Trent Williams wasn't going to line up this year? No. Now, there was a question with Ayuk, like maybe they trade him, whatever the case may be, but there was never any question about Trent. So, yeah, I'm with you. What is it, Cap Schmap?
Cap Schmap. Yeah. Can we do something with that? I know you got your new fancy show out there. You could use that if you want.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Like, here's how I operate. Like, everybody is kind of my intellectual property. So the first time that I use that, I'm gonna credit you. The second time I use it, I'm gonna say, hey, some guy I know is just Cap Schmap.
Yeah.
The third time I use it, it's just mine. Like, so I'll use it on the streets of New York later on this afternoon, later on this evening. I'll walk down to get something to eat here, and I'll use the Cash Map, and then the next thing I know, it'll be mine here by morning.
I have been referred to as some guy many times in my life, Mark. I am not offended by that.
Right.
All right, there it is.
And your show is Breakfast Ball, right? That's obviously a golf reference. And do you take a breakfast ball when you play, no matter what?
Dude, I don't play a whole lot of golf. So I will hit it until I'm happy. I'm not worried about, like, that people are score this, score that. I don't care. Like, if I go out and play, even if I spray it, if I just hit it solid, you know, I'm like, oh, wow, felt great today, right?
Yeah.
And I get bunted around and score well, and I don't even, it's not even fun.
Yeah.
I want to tee it, grip it and rip it. I just want to go.
Yeah, I love it.
A couple good swings.
Yeah.
That's all you need to make it an okay day, you know?
And so. I believe in Montessori scoring, Mark. You put down whatever number makes you feel good.
Okay, I'm with that. I'm just like, hey, you can't take more than a double. Let's move.
All right, let's go.
Let's move.
Yeah.
By the way, hey, Stink, not to swing it back to anything serious, but before you go, we do want to get a thought on Ricky Pearsall and how you as a teammate would handle something like that and what a situation like this kind of does to a team as the season's starting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a devastating thing, obviously, right? And you know, makes you think twice about, like, where am I going? I mean, he was at an autograph signing, which is absolutely insane. But, you know, it makes you feel like, hey, man, people are watching, potential victim. How do I dress when I leave the house? Do I wear, all those things. It makes you think, and it's just a scary situation, and it is one of those things, I think, as a team, you rally around a guy, you know, and you're just happy that he's okay. But obviously he's going to miss time. Now, he had already missed some time in training camp and all that stuff, but he's going to miss time. And you know, it's a devastating situation, right? You just feel like completely violated. So I hate that for him. I hate that for the Niners. But it also be one of those things you rally around together as a team and you protect each other and protect yourself. And, you know, and at least it's kind of one of those wake-up calls of, you know, there's a lot of crazy folks out there, and so we got to be careful.
Indeed. Well said. And, Stink, we're looking forward to hanging out with you here and there throughout the season, so thank you so much. Congrats on the new show as well.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
all
Mark.
Right, there he goes, Mark Schlereth, and that was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
That's a solid four. You sold it. You brought it home. And I was just picturing Steiny having to do that read and him probably flatly refusing.
Oh, I'll give him that tomorrow at the summit then. Do we get to do that again tomorrow? Probably not.
Nope. Yeah.
You know,
John Salad.
There you go. Hellman's mayonnaise.
Hellman's mayonnaise.
Okay.
It is funny.
Yeah, it is. That's why we don't stop doing it.
I was doing that all weekend in Eureka.
You've been doing it all week, all
I
weekend.
Can't stop it.
On text.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
It's my new passion. It's my new passion, that's for pretty, sure. New passion.
New passion.
New passion.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. All right. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. Don't say it twice. That's all. 888-957-9570 is the number. What kind of season do you think the Niners are going to have? Plus, you know what else is going to happen tomorrow? Not just the summit, but our other brand spanking new.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Weekly, high-powered NFL guest. He's going to come on tomorrow. We'll tell you next who it's going to be. This is Weather and Dips.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you,
not
Kelly
Savant.
N-Y-C.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
It's really not, but I appreciate that from the Hall of Famer, Steve Young. And we also want to remind you, we're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. You got no idea how good-looking Dibs is. You should check it out. Especially with all that weight you dropped.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. Feeling good right now. Yeah.
Handsome man. Check it out. Twitch.tv/957TheGame. YouTube.com/957TheGame. It is all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Tomorrow is the summit in Fremont, which means from 2 to 4, you get Willard and Dibs. And then from 4 to 6, you get everybody.
Mm.
All in one room. All with all the red and gold takes. And oh, by the way, sprinkle in a little extra low kneel and put that thing all over your nachos. And boom, you've got yourself an event at a beautiful locale. That is Fremont Bank, right in the middle of the growing downtown, 39150 Fremont Boulevard, rooftop deck. And oh, by the way, forecast, perfect.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Perfect.
It's going to be plenty warm and plenty beautiful up there, and a chance to meet Lo Neal if you haven't had the opportunity. You want to talk about weight loss now.
Hmm.
He looks like a middleweight from the pictures I've seen. I can't wait to see the big fella, as he formerly was referred to, and the old grilled cheese, which is what we called the moneymaker, his forehead. The old grilled cheese is maybe a half a grilled cheese now. He's lost some weight.
I got to run something by him because he's bucking a trend here. It's a well-known NFL thing that when they retire, the linemen get smaller and the running backs get bigger, and they all meet at 240 pounds.
Right.
That's what happens. And Lowe is now going the other way. He's doing the offensive lineman thing. He's losing a bunch of weight.
Well, technically, and he'll probably get mad at me for saying this, but he was both.
You're right. He is a little bit of both. Sure.
Yeah, but as he'll tell you, I'm sure, tomorrow, he started out, he was leading the NFL in rushing his rookie year.
For how
after
long?
Two games?
Oh, I thought you were going to be like after a quarter.
No, no, no. He broke a big one in the opener of the second game, longest run of his career for a touchdown, and then he broke his foot.
Oh.
And he missed the rest of the year, and the rest was a history of blocking.
Mm.
that should have him in Canton, but I'll save the praise from when he's not around.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's what I normally would do.
So it's just going to be a tremendous day tomorrow, and you're all welcome to come and join us, and it's first come, first serve, and it's just an absolutely wonderful vibe, and that's how you should spend your Wednesday afternoon. There, we said it. But also, before the 4 to 6 soiree, between 2 and 4, precisely at 3 o'clock, as it turns out, you are going to get treated to something that we are going to be doing every single Wednesday for the entire football season. And Bay Area Sports Radio listeners know this name and this voice very, very well. And we are so pumped up to grab him and bring him to 95.7 The Game and our awesome audience. And that is the great Greg Cosell from NFL Films. You see a lot of people on social media now doing like the film thing. Check this out. This guy goes here, this guy goes over here, and he brings you football in a way that makes sense to you so that you can really see what the deep dive, what's actually happening on the field. He's been doing this forever.
Yeah.
He's the OG of all of that, Greg Cosell, and he really knows how to like talk about it so it makes sense to people who don't even know what an A-gap is. And so I am so excited to talk to him every single Wednesday. Now, he's going to tell you if Brandon Ayuk's a $30 million receiver.
One, he already went through Samuel, and said that, yep, he looked at every single route that he ran last year. And you played that sound, actually, yes, a couple of weeks ago, and he was breaking down what Brandon does, and his assessment was, you know, if Granny, if you can find it, I'd love to hear the whole piece.
It. We should play that.
I don't know if you still had it on your magic board over there.
No.
I got nothing but a blank screen over here. But the upshot was that Brandon Ayuk is really good, especially in the Shanahan offense.
Right. I remember that day. Yeah. Well, yeah, because it was that day where you're like, and I remember all the days where we were like, this trade thing makes no sense.
You kept saying that.
It makes no sense. Like, Brandon Ayuk, as frustrated as I got, go back 5 weeks ago, I'm like, he's supposed to be a 49er. Like, he's at his best when he's with the Niners. The Niners are at their... They can't go get me Cortland Sutton and tell me that that is going to work as well as Brandon Ayuk. He blocks downfield. He's worked through everything. He understands the Kyle Shanahan system. He's got back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. This trade stuff doesn't make any sense. And that Greg Cosell comment, I thought, really crystallized it, because he's like, yes, he's good and they're good, but they're both really good,
yeah,
when they're together.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
Like, I'll eat peanut butter occasionally on a stalk of celery, but you put it between two pieces of bread and some jelly and you get yourself a sandwich. Peanut butter and jelly cannot be better than when they are together.
You're right, but peanut butter and celery is also a next level move.
It is.
More people should do that.
You feel like you're eating a healthy snack, but you're really not.
It's healthier.
Much healthier than just, yeah, spoon in peanut butter jar.
Boy, dude, that used to be.
Don't even get me started. Fat Danny Dibley.
But I hadn't even dropped the backpack. Like, the backpack would still be on in the pantry.
For sure.
When I got home from school, it was spoon.
Skippy or Jif?
Whatever was on sale is always my mom's answer.
Mark?
Sometimes it was Peter Pan.
Oh, look at that.
No joke.
Off the board.
Whatever the hell's on sale.
Okay.
That's how she shopped. And I would go straight to the drawer where the spoons were, and I'd get the spoon, and you open up the pantry, and you look around, because maybe something's in there that you didn't know was going to be in there. Did mom buy a new bag of Doritos or something? Maybe I'll start there. But no, it was straight to the shelf that was right at about chest high. Big old thing of peanut butter, spoon, jar, enough said.
Yep.
That's it. I didn't need bread, celery, I didn't need anything. I needed a spoon.
And even after you have the first mouthful, you put the spoon right back in the jar, which is pretty gross.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't be one and done.
I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
No. Nobody was watching. Yeah. It was 3:11 in the afternoon.
Perfect.
Nobody else was home. Me and peanut butter.
Ayuk and the Niners, peanut butter and jelly. And those of you on the YouTube page talking about jelly overrated, I'm not going to read that. That's inflammatory. Jelly's versatile. Different flavors.
I don't see, when people say overrated, we've lost our way with the term overrated. Because it has to be...
Jelly's highly rated.
Well, but I don't know. Like, who the hell's cruising around in life being like, so, jelly. That's my thing. Jelly. Like, it's not that highly rated. I don't know what anyone does with jelly if it's not with peanut butter.
Put on an English muffin, a little butter.
You can, but who does that?
You're allowed to.
You're allowed to.
Put on toast.
The only other people using jelly are restaurants. They bring you jelly. Nobody does that at home. You're putting butter or peanut butter or whatever, but at a restaurant, you get that little thing with like a stack, four stacks of jelly in there, and then you use it because it's there. But outside of that, and maybe you're like brie cheese charcuterie board, who's doing anything with jelly? Nobody.
It's fair.
Nobody's doing it, so stop calling it overrated. It's not that highly rated.
It's pretty highly rated.
It's mid rated. It's mid. It's mid.
Depends, you know.
Anyway. Greg Cosell, this is what he said.
I mean, I think if you went through, and I've done this with coaches, the top four or five receivers in the league, Ayuk would not be in that category. Now, maybe it's helpful. I watched all of Ayuk's targets again a couple of weeks ago from last year because I knew he was in the news. And if I could, it'll just take a moment. Here's what I finished typing when I watched all his targets. I said he's a sudden, explosive mover with nuanced route running traits and outstanding route quickness. He can separate and run away from man coverage on crossers and overs, and he has very good zone awareness to work into voids. He's strong run after catch with open field vision and shiftiness and acceleration. He's more sudden and explosive in short areas. The one thing he does not truly possess is vertical explosiveness. He's a perfect mix of talent and scheme where he is now.
So there it is. First of all,
he's a perfect mix of talent and scheme right where he is.
And he remained, as it turned out.
Talent and scheme.
That comment was made in the Ross Tucker podcast on August 9th.
Right.
So almost a month ago.
Yeah.
That comment was made.
And he talks about all the things he does well, and the only thing he doesn't do well is vertical over-the-top speed. And that's quite all right because they don't do vertical over-the-top throws very often.
No.
And when they do, we overthrow Emmanuel Sanders and we lose the Super Bowl. End of deep balls.
That was not an appropriate thing to bring up today. Yeah, you didn't need to do that.
But I did.
I remember Brock Purdy hit Brandon Ayuk on a little go route down the left sideline against Tampa Bay Bucks. Went all the way.
A lot of times when they throw it deep, it's by scheme. You'll either get the Juszczyk wheel route, or the hey diddle diddle kittle down the middle play. You don't often sit back and three wides and send both guys going on fly routes.
Their deep routes are not that deep. Do you know what I mean?
And it's usually by scheme where something happens late, or you know, you get misdirection over here and then a wide receiver breaks free on a double move. You don't often line a guy up and just say, run 50 yards as fast as you can and I'm throwing it.
Maybe they will do that, though, with Terrace Marshall when they activate him.
It's possible.
Maybe.
If he ends up making the squad.
Or Jacob Cowing. You know? I mean, someone, by the way, at the wide receiver position, I would think is going to be active the first four games who wasn't going to be.
You get 48 actives.
Well, Pearsall was going to be active, and now he's not.
Yeah.
He's on the non-football injury list.
For
he has to
weeks.
Sit out at least the first four games.
Yeah.
So there's an opportunity for someone.
There is. And, you know, when you get the 48-man roster, which I don't think has to be announced until Sunday or Monday with the Monday night game, I will be intrigued to see exactly what the breakdown is of receivers because, you know, you start running out of spots when you just have 48 and you need to have all your special teamers up. So does Cowing get a chance to make the opening day roster now because of this Pearsall situation?
Maybe. And maybe he was already tracking that way. I don't know. They like him. So we'll see. But those were the words, first of all, of Greg Cosell, and I love the way he breaks down players. And he is that maniacal. Like, I knew Brandon was going to be in the news, so I decided to go watch all of his targets.
All of his routes.
No.
He watched every route.
Not did you watch every route or every target?
Yeah, I thought it was every
I thought
route.
It was target.
But either
every
way, that's
route,
105.
That's all the plays for the whole year.
Yeah,
every
it's a lot of them.
That's
other than the running plays.
Anyway, that's a lot. But that's what he does. That's what he does. He probably somewhere in a room with glasses on right now, looking at some player and doing a deep dive. And that's what we're going to get. That's what we're going to get because fantastic content. We're going to do it every Wednesday with Greg starting tomorrow.
I'm super stoked. Yeah. And, you know, go back to the days of his father, who was my first role model as a kid. I wanted to be Howard Cosell. That was it. I mean, that was what I wanted to do when I grew up. That was the guy who I tried to emulate.
And here you are.
And talking to Greg. Tomorrow
That's
and every
right.
week.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but... And just when I hear Greg, it reminds me of Howard a little bit because the same sort of nasally tone with which they deliver information.
Howard's going to turn over in his grave if DirecTV customers can't watch this game on Monday night.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I don't understand what's going on.
I mean.
I shed DirecTV about 9 years ago, and one of the best decisions I ever made.
I mean, that's fine. I don't want to get into who's customers of what. I just like there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people out there, and we're all way too busy to know what the hell is going on with stuff like this. And so a lot of people were broadsided, absolutely broadsided on a Sunday. It's Labor Day weekend. Who, God knows how many people. Did you invite someone over? Like, let's watch SC and LSU. And you turn on the TV, and it's like, whoop, blank. And you're probably shaking your remote, changing batteries, calling people, trying to sign up for Disney Plus, pulling out laptops, phones, calling sports bars, calling friends. Like, come on, man. What are we doing? What are you doing?
Just a quick aside on all of this, and this is where, as a sports fan, you kind of lose me a little bit. You've made it so difficult to watch your sports now with your various peacocks, and it's the YouTube game of the week, and this one's on Hulu, and now I got to jump over to Amazon Plus for Thursday Night Football, and I just want to be able to boop, turn on the TV for which I pay cable bills, and I love my Xfinity, and just watch the game. But you look forward, it's like, oh, that's right, this one's on YouTube. This one's on Yahoo.org. This one's on Amazon Plus. This one's on Paramount Minus. I mean, you got to chase after the content. I hate it.
Well, first of all, I feel you, but I think you also know how
I'm
old you sound right now.
I get it. I just want things in my life to be easy.
Easy. Well, but that's like that's as relatable as anything in the world ever, which is anytime somebody turns 50, 60, 70, or 80, like they just want things to be like they used to be, and they're not.
I don't mind change. I just want change to be for more convenience. This is less convenience.
Well,
this is more money. Now, if there was a super device...
Depends on how you do it.
But if there was a device where you could just turn it on and you could speak in your remote what you wanted and they would take you directly to that platform...
I think they've got that.
Instead of...
Some TVs have that.
The platform's got to open.
Yeah.
Now you go to their menu. Now you got to find what you wanted to.
Well, that's
now you got to click on
that's
it.
That's the problem is toggling. When you got two games that you want to watch at one
correct.
Time.
So I'm watching something on Paramount Plus and I also want to switch over to U.S. Open quarterfinal tennis action.
I ain't trying to change my HDMI in the middle of a commercial
thank
break
you.
So that I can get from... Yeah, I
there's
get
no
it.
There's no toggle. So anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want you know.
Mark Grandy's got something for us. You want to hear what Mark Grandy has to say?
Desperately.
Hi, Grandy.
A little bit of developing news from the 49ers. We already know about the Trent Williams stuff and obviously Brandon Ayuk late last week. The 49ers also have reportedly, and this comes from Field Yates of ESPN, restructured the contract of wide receiver Deebo Samuel, creating even more cap space for this season. $16.4 million in cap space created by this Deebo Samuel restructure. You pair that along with the Trent Williams deal, which also saved a little bit of money for this year, and they might have close to like $60 million in cap space for this season
alone.
They
are number one in the NFL now. Can someone help? Like, I get it, but I think, can we break this down for the audience a little bit? Like, what does that mean, quite frankly, not just for now, but the future and Brock Purdy? Because it feels like that's what this is largely about.
Right.
Right?
Yes. I'm just reading that he was scheduled to make 20.9 in base with 28.6 million on the cap hit. So if it's a restructure that frees up 16.4, that tells me that the $28 million cap hit portion of that was transferred into a signing bonus that he just gets, like everyone else is getting cash. So Deebo now gets cash.
Right, but what? Like,
more cash up front.
But why are the Niners doing this?
To create more cap room that they can bring with them in next year.
Yeah, right.
And then take that cap room
because it rolls over. Because,
exactly.
Yeah, in the future, if you look at the contracts that they are signing, they're actually in great cap space this year, but not next year. But I know that a lot of this rolls over, and sure, so a lot of this is about Brock Purdy, and that makes a whole lot of sense. But I actually have no worries about that.
Yeah.
None. I have the same number of Brock Purdy worries as I do Trent Williams. I think that this is pretty easy. And I know that we're going to have a season-long conversation about what Brock is worth. And people will talk about it and think about it. And some of you out there, you know, we did a whole thing on Friday about how the way Brock looks and the way he talks, it makes people think that he's just going to accept less because it's just such a nice little guy.
Sure.
He's just middle America.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The wedding on the beach. And there's no way he'd go demand a contract. He's too nice for that, which is like dripping with all kinds of sort of circumstantial odd things that
yes.
I don't even really want to get into. Like, Brock's going to have an agent, and Brock's going to twist somebody's arm if they make him because Trevor Lawrence makes $55 million a year, and Brock's better, period. End of sentence. No debating, no arguing. I don't care when the two of them were drafted, one first, one last.
But if he takes 45, Mark, then you might be able to keep a better team around him, thereby ensuring that Brock could still be good. Because if Brock gets 60 and you say bye-bye to all these guys around him, well, now Brock's not very good anymore.
Yeah, great. So
that's the narrative.
Which I
take
reject.
Less for your own good.
I reject the narrative. He's a good quarterback. I think he thinks he's a good quarterback. If he has another good year this year, there's not really going to be a whole lot to discuss. But the reason what you just brought up, Grandy, is so interesting to me, that's where my mind has been for the last 2 weeks. Not Brock, Debo. And that's why I've had such a hard time with the Ayuk thing. And we'll play for you here in a sec what Ayuk said, because it was important today. And I think that it might go a little ways in recovering the relationship that we've all asked, is it damaged? Play it for you in a sec. But my mind's been on Debo the whole time. I don't like during this negotiation how it sounded from many like Debo's old. He ain't old. He's not anywhere near. He's 28. That's not old. He's younger than Christian
right.
McCaffrey. Like, he has.
But you said before that it was going to be Brandon or Debo
right.
when they got to the end of this upcoming year.
And that's my concern.
And
that's,
this, I think, helps to allay some of that concern.
Which is why that's what I'm bringing up.
Yeah.
That's, to me, my thought in the Brandon deal is, even though it's been reported that Brandon and Debo are not going to both be on this team at a high salary next year, I hope that's wrong.
What I think that
I
this would be,
wrong.
This would be a way, I think, to reduce Debo's salary for next year, but guarantee more of it. And that's where, you know, you pay him more now, and he gets more this year in upfront guarantees, and then whatever's left next year, that's the last year under contract, so whatever's left next year, he might rework that or get an extension after this season to rework that deal, because you probably won't have him going on that final of the year.
What's sorry, Dibs. I would also say if the majority of his contract for this year, salary for this year, has now been converted into a signing bonus, which is generally how this sort of thing works,
yeah.
I would imagine, personally, that means he's less likely to be traded midseason, that's for sure, because
right.
you've already paid him for essentially
wow.
his entire contract.
I didn't buy that anyway. The only idea, Debo's not going to get traded unless something goes horrifically wrong. The Niners are not giving away good players unless they're like they're at the deadline and they're 3-7 or something
and
like that.
And even less so now because you've already
yes.
paid what his salary is going
correct.
To be.
Correct, yeah. The Niners ain't ducking out. Like, that would mean that like five of their players all got absolutely horribly hurt. Like, or just something is just completely sideways with this season. I do not see that. But my thing is, I want Debo Samuel on this team more than one more year. I don't think he's anywhere near done. I know the injury risk, all that stuff. I get it.
Yeah, you just don't know how the year is going to go.
No, of course. But I'm not ready to just submit, because that was kind of the idea. You sign Brandon to 30, then this is the last year of Debo. I'm not. I hope that's not the case.
Well, the cap hit was 28.6, and so they've created 16.4 million in cap space. Maybe that's spread over the 2 years. So perhaps he goes from a $28 million cap hit now down to about 22, and he gets a bunch of cash up front and a signing bonus to make him happy.
Perfect. If everybody's happy, then we're happy.
Then you're happy.
Well, and I'm not, and I get it if you are, but I'm not someone who just goes, it's only about this year. It's just not for me. Like, you know what I mean? Especially these guys who have been drafted and developed here. I don't know. Don't athletes mean something to you? I don't want to just toss Debo out because it was time and it was Brandon's turn and all of that. I'm not ready for that. That's just where my mind's on it at the moment. Then, again, the other thing is possible, which is that the 49ers, on an annual basis, because they're such a big deal, they're such favorites, and they've been so interesting – and damn it, so close, but can't get over the top. They've built a situation where we feel so much stress and anxiety that is unfounded. Like, let me paint a picture for you. We get to next offseason. Brock does get a new deal. Debo's not going anywhere. Everybody is still on the team, well beyond. And we look back at all of this hand-wringing over all of these contracts and hopefully learn the lesson, stop stressing. Stop stressing. The Niners have been and continue to be kind of next level at this, and maybe everybody will stay together as long as you want them to. Anyway, we can get more on this coming up next. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. 888-957-9570. Let's circle back to the question we've been trying to answer, which is, what kind of season do you think the Niners are going to have now that we've got a clearer picture? And Doc Pandy is going to jump in here with a Pearsall update next on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.